come bearing a story today. It is a Christian story about dying and rising, about throwing seeds to the wind, and about seeds carefully, painstakingly planted. It is about faithfully tending, weeding, tilling, feeding, the garden that is each of our lives. I begin at the end. There were more than 4,000 people in attendance at his funeral. Because no building on the campus grounds was large enough to contain them, the funeral was held out of doors, and it rained. 4,000 people out of doors in the rain in Japan in January. It was a wonder to behold. The preacher kept his eulogy short. It sprang from the words of Jesus. "Verily, verily, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it produces many seeds." The kernel of wheat who had fallen to the ground and died, about whom the preacher was eulogizing, for whom more than 4,000 people endured the soaking, bone-chilling weather, the Reverend Joseph Hardy Niisama, the first Japanese ordained to Christian ministry ever, the first Japanese awarded an honorary doctorate at Amherst College. Later, he would be honored as one of Japan's greatest educators. In 1950, he was featured on a Japanese postage stamp. Portraits of Joseph Hardy Niisama hang in the MFA today at Doshishi University in Japan and Amherst College in Western Massachusetts. In his name and straddling two continents are too many scholarships, lectureships, and fellowships to give an accurate accounting. But the most significant, numerous and productive seeds that sprouted from the remarkable life and from the many dyings of Joseph Hardy Niisama, Doshisha University in Japan, and all its students and myriad alumni who are represented in our sanctuary today by these students from one of the feeder schools of Doshisha University. Doshisha University was his labor of love, the garden he dreamed, planted, and tended for most all of his life. For Joseph Hardy Niisama, Doshisha University, a Christian school in the heart of Japan, was the happy twining of Christianity and learning, of faith and morality. His funeral in 1890 was held on the grounds of the school that he had founded by tears and trials, by stubborn importunity and unrelenting vision. The school for which he was its first president, Doshisha. Following the ceremony, the funeral procession was 1.5 miles long. Niisama's students, fighting for the honor to serve as his pallbearers, took turns bearing the body of their beloved teacher and pastor to its final resting place. Remarkably, among those who took their place in the funeral procession was an entire delegation of Buddhist priests, one of whom wrote this: "I was moved by his kindness and love, and in 2 hours after meeting Niisama, felt as if we had long been friends. Oh, had I not believed in Buddhism, I would have followed him and believed in Christianity." So what has the Reverend Joseph Hardy Niisama to do with us? Why are there here today nearly 60 school children from an elementary school in Doshisha, Japan? The story begins in 1843. Niisama was born into Japan's warrior class. As a young samurai, he gains an excellent education and he studies hard. He masters reading and writing. He becomes fluent in the Chinese classics. While serving as a scribe to his feudal lord, he attends the naval school. He studies navigation, science, and math, horseback riding, and swordsmanship. But Niisama has a restless soul. He lives under a military and feudal dictatorship. His country is literally shut off to the outside world. And it is that world, the wide world beyond his reach, that he aches to see and experience. At age 20, he happens upon a Chinese Bible. And it is within the pages of that Bible that he meets the Creator God who made the heavens and the earth. And Niisama, he is immediately smitten. He is overcome with this love for a God who so loves the world. He then reads a Chinese translation of Robinson Crusoe. And as the shipwrecked Crusoe prayed to God for aid, for rescue, so does Niisama get on his knees and pray to God for rescue, to leave his country and to learn the Western world. While Niisama seeks permission to emigrate legally, no such permission is granted him. The young, clever, well-educated, well-trained samurai is too valuable to his feudal lord to be let go. But Niisama's wanderlust cannot be quelled. Secretly, under the cover of darkness, he steals aboard an American vessel at anchor off his island nation. He is warmly welcomed by the American captain, who agrees to harbor him. The next morning, while still at anchor, armed Japanese soldiers board the vessel and search it. They're looking for any Japanese who might be secreted aboard. Were he to be discovered, he would face execution. The American captain hides Niisama in his own cabin under a pile of clothes. The soldiers enter the captain's cabin. The stowaway is not discovered. Within a few hours then, the ship weighs anchor, spreads her sails to the wind, and is carried out to sea. As the ship sails to China, Niisama works for the captain, making himself as useful as possible. Through sign language and drawing, he explains to the captain that it is his heart's desire to travel to America to achieve a Western education and to investigate Christianity. When they arrive at Shanghai, Niisama is transferred to another ship, the Wild Rover, which is bound for America. The captain of the Wild Rover, whose name is Captain Horace Taylor, I was asked if I was related to him. I doubt it, but I don't know, maybe. The captain of the Wild Rover, Horace Taylor, asks Niisama his name. The young samurai responds something like this, Nijima Shimata, to which the captain replies, I think I had better call you Joe. And here's where we come into the picture. The Wild Rover, the ship upon which Niisama will sail to America, to the land of his dreaming, is owned by Alpheus Hardy. Alpheus Hardy is a member of Old Sound Church. He is a wealthy and respected merchant. He owns numerous ships and trades all over the world. During his lifetime, Alpheus Hardy will play key roles on the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions. He will serve as the treasurer and at one point as the president of the Board of Phillips Academy, his alma mater. He will serve as a trustee of another of his alma mater, Amherst College. And not least, he serves on the committee that calls the Reverend George Gordon, after whom our Gordon Chapel is named, to serve as the 16th senior minister of Old South Church. Alpheus Hardy and his equally kind and generous wife take Niisama into their home and under their wings. They become his foster parents. It is no small undertaking, this, to assume the care and support, the protection and advocacy of this strange young immigrant, this foreign lad of another race, of an alien tongue, hailing from a closed feudal nation, who has literally stolen his way unbidden into their lives. As our nation today argues over matters of immigration, who is legal and who is not, the hospitality of the Hardys is a remarkable story. They feed him, clothe him, support him, encourage him, and significantly, they educate him. They pay his way through Phillips Academy, then through Amherst College, and then through Andover Seminary. With funds gathered from the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions, that is, from the congregational churches throughout New England, the Reverend Joseph Hardy Neesima arrives back into Japan to plant a school in the Western style. Neesima associated the Christian faith with intellectual curiosity and rigor, with scientific exploration, with the forming not only of great thinkers, but also, and as importantly, the forming of persons with character, of moral integrity, persons of honor and goodwill, persons who will care more about the public good than private gain. Today, Doshisha University is one of Japan's oldest private institutions of higher learning. Doshisha has over 30,000 students enrolled on four campuses in Kyoto. It is one of Japan's global 30 universities. It encompasses 14 faculties and 16 graduate schools, with numerous affiliated institutions, including Doshisha Women's College, along with a kindergarten, as well as elementary and high schools. Though as a young man, Neesima literally trades in his samurai sword for a Bible. He does it while in Shanghai. Trades in his samurai sword for a Bible. He did not, as it turns out, entirely forsake the samurai way of life. Upon his return to Japan, he married, and he married well. The woman he married was in every way equal to her remarkable husband. Like Neesima, she too had been born into the samurai class. She had, as a young woman, dressed in her brother's samurai clothing, taken up his swords and his guns, and impersonating a man, fought in actual battle. Her role as a female gun-wielding samurai in the mid-1800s, as well as her advocacy for women's education and women's liberation, is popular history in Japan. Most recently, she was featured in a Japanese TV series. The Neesimas lived an extremely modern Western-style marriage in a post-feudal Japan. The preacher who preached Neesima's funeral eulogy chose his text well. "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it produces many seeds. For the truth is, there was tremendous dying in Neesima's life. Extraordinary suffering and loss. You don't do what he did. You don't achieve what Neesima achieved without cost, without travail, without the agony of many defeats. On this World Communion Sunday, I give God thanks for Joseph Hardy Neesima, who in his own person bridged America and Japan, who bridged the old world and the new, who built early bridges between Christianity, Confucianism, and Buddhism, who lived to do nothing else than to serve God with a soul that was as fierce as it was kind. The story of Joseph Hardy Neesima is a Christian story about dying and rising, about throwing seeds to the wind, not knowing what will grow, and about seeds carefully, painstakingly planted, It is about faithfully tending, weeding, tilling, feeding, the garden that is each of our lives. May God use us as kernels of wheat. May our own dyings and fallings rise to new life.